Discourse 3, July 11, 1932, Saint Germain. Invocation. Thou mightiest of the mighty, thou mighty God, we face thy sunrise. These thy children face the sunrise of the soul, and receive thy all-sustaining power, thy courage, thy wisdom, and thy illumining presence. Thou mightiest of all energy, we accept thy presence. Thou all-powerful active presence, animating our minds and forms, thou mighty intelligence, we accept thy all-powerful activity directing every movement of the outer form, holding it close in thy mighty embrace. The Discourse. God's Certain Assurance. In every activity of life, there must be something to which the consciousness can be anchored, or which can stabilize it. In the outer mind, there are principles and formulas that it may use in coming to a definite conclusion. For instance, by following the principles of mathematics, we come to certain results. When a formula is worked out, you produce certain results, no question about it. How much more important it is, then, to get the attention of the individual fixed upon that indwelling presence with the same assurance. You must know that the principle of life in you and enfolding you is far greater than the outer things which you have experienced for long centuries and have unknowingly clung to. May I remind you of what I gave on July 7? Do the following any time during the waking hours. Stand, face the east, and say verbally or mentally, but let it be firm, Mighty God in me, I face thy eternal sunrise, and receive its mighty radiance and activity, visibly manifest in my experience. Follow your feeling as to whether you say it verbally or mentally each time. You will find that this produces certain results, the nature of which I may not speak of, in order that you may receive the full benefit. If students use this, they should first analyze themselves and see if they are sincere in their stand to the light. If they are sincere, let them stand to the light and then go forth. The principle of God, which is your active consciousness, is always enfolding the outer form. It is the mightiest of principles that the outer self may be aware of and cling to. By doing this, you can have the same certain definite results with the same great assurance of success that you receive in the use of other principles or formulas in mathematics or chemistry. The Master Presence in you is the mightiest of chemists and the greatest of all principles or formulas. All seeming shadows or problems are but a part of God demanding an opportunity for the recognition of that great and mighty presence, the invincible solver of all problems. All problems are but to compel a recognition of God as a supreme controller and activity in all things. This mighty presence is the certain assurance anchored in the heart of every individual on the pathway of light, that he may definitely and absolutely ascend. Therefore, you will see that the outer experience, which would otherwise seem disconcerting or disturbing, is but the demand of the great self to the outer to turn about and face the eternal sunrise of God's glorious radiance enfolding every one of his children and all his creation. As you contemplate this fact, every earnest soul will feel the radiance of this mighty truth, strengthening and sustaining him with a joyous presence in every experience through which he may pass. In presenting this mighty sustaining truth from the various angles, it is done with the certain consciousness that one angle or another will meet the requirements of the students in various grades, enabling each one to grasp his principle of life, the mighty I Am Presence, the God within, with certain definite assurance. Each one will recognize his own God principle working in him and for him, and he will feel his certain ability to apply it in his own life and problems. I wish to make clear that when we say the principle of God within, I do not mean to convey, nor has it ever been intended to convey, that the great principle of God dwells within the outer form, but its wondrous radiation can be and is often felt within the outer form. The golden thread of light anchoring the mighty master self within the heart and brain of the outer form is the mighty current or stream of life by which the outer is sustained and given its activity. This can be drawn upon and used with positive assurance concerning the desired results, and its mighty energy can be used without any limit. When students can feel the assurance of this, their freedom is at hand. And at this point again, let me state the importance to the students of the command to hear, to dare, to do, and to be silent. This particularly concerns instruction. If earnest students allow themselves to discuss instruction with other students who may or may not have the same viewpoint, it will many times cause them to waver and be deprived of the great recognition and acceptance that they might otherwise utilize. Each student receiving instruction should contemplate that instruction and refuse to discuss it with anyone other than his or her teacher. This will many times help them avoid very grave confusion. Only after students have become firmly anchored in the truth are they able to enter into the discussion of the various angles of truth without experiencing confusion. This is why students in the retreats of the Ascended Masters, as a rule, make such remarkable progress. The students in the outer world can have the same unvarying results if they will generate strength within themselves and resist the temptation of discussing the truths that are most sacred to them and others. As no one individual may grow for another, then it is obvious when the student is receiving instruction that he or she is but wasting energy in the outer discussion. Contemplation of the instruction or the truth given will enable the individual to receive the proof from within that the words are intended to convey. The student, to become safely anchored, must at all times look to the mighty Master Presence, God enfolding him, for the right solution of every problem confronting him. Except where worded instruction is being given him, the student should at all times look to the mighty Presence within and hold his attention there, firmly fixed until the answer to any question he requires appears. When the sincere student looks with earnest determination to the master presence enfolding him, he will have at his service the mightiest forces of the universe. And this will cause those mighty forces to rush to his assistance, whatever is required. Earnest students who do this will not long be affected by outer conditions. All the inhabitants of the elements are subject to the qualities given them because of the racial conception of fairies and angels. Fairies and sylphs are both inhabitants of the air, but different activities of it. The outer consciousness of human beings constantly jumps to conclusions. If angels or arisen beings were to manifest to perform a visible, physical, or tangible action, they would necessarily project a form. If it were protection or inspiration, they might appear as a flame or a ball of light. The outer self always wants proof, and so causes the presence to project that which is tangible. Every student should understand that every condition he meets in the outer returns back to him the qualities he gives it. Hence the necessity of seeing, knowing, and feeling only God in action in every situation. The great law, when it strikes a certain point of activity, always finds its way to accomplish a thing that is needed for a given purpose. The motive is always the judge back of every outer activity. Where students have been taught the gratification of sex as a necessity, on leaving the body, they are met by those who have the correct knowledge and who correct that idea and give the help needed. The human self, or outer consciousness, is terrifically stubborn. Cremation. Cremation not only disintegrates the physical body, but it also consumes the destructive element of the emotional or astral body and looses the desire in the individual to be taught. The emotional or astral is partly physical, because all atomic structure comes within the physical domain. The electronic structure is beyond the physical domain. Many times the release from the physical leaves the consciousness clearer to receive the light. It is true that those who are antagonistic to the truth here are not necessarily so after passing on. Students should be absolutely certain within themselves that no amount of hate, gossip, criticism, or condemnation of the outer can harm them. If, on becoming aware of any such thing, they know there is only God acting, they transmute the condition, and that force is used for their own benefit. So it is with the force released by the hate and explosions of the First World War, 1914-1918. It is constantly being requalified and directed to be used for good. When a force is released, it is neither good nor bad. It is simply energy that can be directed. Force is always qualified by the consciousness or individual using it. When the explanation of the sayings of the Master Jesus is given at the point we are at today, it is curious what tremendous strength and power were in the statements he made, showing what a powerful condensation they were. The comparison of the outer principles to the inner will often enable the students to grasp and apply the inner with even more definite assurance than they are able to apply the outer. I am the divine plan of the light in physical operation.